Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Here's Marshall with a shot. Score! He scored the last goal of game two in double overtime. He opens the scoring 56 seconds into game three.
Marcelo Meyer feels like a good day for him to hit a home run in Seattle. Pitch to him is driven high and deep and to right field. It is gone. He does go deep. Marcelo says hello to Seattle, and it's 1-0 Red Sox.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Front page of the most popular sports website out of course, WEEI.com, ESPN.com, just a few hours ago, Jeff Passan. How the Red Sox, quote, absolutely botched the Devers divorce. Why can't we have nice things?
Happy hit piece day, Fitzy. Happy hit piece day.
Happy hit piece day. Happy longest day of the year. Happy clearest day of sunshine. Happy 50th anniversary of the release of one of the greatest movies of all time.
Da-dum.
Easily the Gossam, greatest of all shark movies. That's right. Today,
Sharknado?
Sorry.
And the many sequels.
Actually, I'm sorry. My power ranking of shark movies goes Deep Blue Sea,
oh, classic.
Sharknado, then Jaws. Have you guys seen Deep Blue Sea, by the way?
Oh, classic.
Absolutely.
And it holds up.
Thank you, Stiz. I'm so glad you are an appreciator of true trash cinema. And the olds out there in the audience like myself may remember the good old days when on Cinemax and Showtime, Saturdays at 11:30, Dan Ball, I used to stay up late with my old man and watch Iron Joe Bob. Joe Bob Briggs used to this kind of like country and western aficionado of S-word cinema.
Oh.
Absolute garbage films. Used to just kind of host them the same way Dana Hersey hosted the Movie Loft.
Sure.
And that's where, like, I developed a profound appreciation for, like, Van Damme movies would be like Van Gogh paintings compared to some of the movies that used to be showed there. So Deep Blue Sea is classic Renaissance cinema, and Sharknado is a fine family feature, according to the Stevens family as well.
Love that.
It's the best. But anyway, welcome to your afternoon show. This is WEEI Afternoons, everybody. Your old pal Nick Fitzy-Stevens here alongside the Ball Hawk, the Ball Game. Dan Ball, of course, Stanley Bruno, a.k.a. Stiz Grimy, behind the glass. Big Ted Johnson. He's a three-time Super Bowl champion. He's going to join the show at 3 o'clock today. And do we have fun for you? We kick off the show today with our favorite Friday feature, Who Won the Week? Then we'll get into the details of the Jeff Passan hit piece on Craig Breslow. How Breslow can you go? We'll do a little more Raffy Devers talk because I don't know if any of you guys out there heard it or not, but we got a big baseball weekend in San Francisco by the Bay. There's a grudge match as the Red Sox take on their old pal, Rafael Devers. Three-point stance at 3 o'clock. 3:30, Joe Shasky from the morning roast at 95.7, the game in San Francisco. Kind enough to join us. Jump in the Devers versus Red Sox kumite, Dan Ball.
You're a promised fireworks. That's what he said.
Now, for every Red Sox and Patriots offseason, trade deadline and beyond, where I've been promised fireworks and have not received it, I don't want to be let down again because Massachusetts is one of those states where you can't really buy fireworks. Growing up, everybody remembers. In Connecticut, you can buy fireworks, but of course they can't launch. New Hampshire, which is a state that's not allergic to fun, allowed you to get your tattoos, your cheaper tax-free booze handles, and of course, aerial fireworks as well. Every time I visit family and friends up in Salisbury, first thing I do is drop about 200 and then proceed to get yelled at by my wife all summer long as my kids have Roman candle battles.
And that's how your face looks the way it looks.
And that's exactly how my face looks. Everybody, please remember to scoot an aerial fireworks responsibly. 4 o'clock hour, we're going to get into some of that NBA Finals. I got to tell you, Dan, Ted and the Thunder, you know, I want him to be happy. Everybody wants Big Ted to be happy.
Absolutely, you know? For the benefit of the program and each of us individually.
You know, like they said in Star Wars, let the Wookiee win.
Sure.
And, of course, on our program, you would always be wise to make Ted happy. I couldn't help it. I enjoyed the Pacers kicking the holy crap out of the Thunder last night thoroughly. It was a 108-91 final. Get out of here that the game was that close. That was a 25-30-point game for the entire second half. A truly heroic effort by a team looking to make a memorable series and impression on the NBA. It was awesome. And then, of course, 4:30, Megan Nottolini joins us to discuss her great piece at WEEI.com as she had a chance to interview living legend and future Patriots Hall of Famer Efton Chisholm III's high school coach and college coach. Great stuff. 5 o'clock hour. Everything you need. We'll clean up the week. And, of course, Supersized Odds and Ends has a tribute to summertime. Everything you love. And, of course, we will discuss the anniversary of the greatest of all shark movies. And some say, believe it or not, Dan Ball, a top 10 feature film and perhaps the greatest Spielberg movie. Would you agree with that?
I think both are probably fair. I mean, there's a lot to choose from in both categories, but it was just such a revolutionary piece at the time, and it still holds up. It's still, if I hear the stories of people who watch it either like on the beach or they watch it in the pool or something like that, just to kind of play up the holy crap, I'm in the water watching Jaws. But yeah, I'm right there with you.
Let me ask the text line right now. And of course, if you guys would like to join the program, please feel free to shout out your winner of the week in the Boston sports landscape or talk about anything Sox, Pats, B's or C's related at any point during the program. 617-779-7937. It was obviously a different day and age when I first saw Jaws many a moon ago. I resisted watching it for as long as possible because A, I was a big fearty cat, and B, I go so often to the beach that I didn't want to know what may possibly lay or lurk beneath the surface of the water. Then I saw it and I was like, holy smokes, this movie is epic. So I'm debating whether or not I should let my kids watch it tonight.
Ooh, remind me one more time without too much information doxing how old they are.
Don't matter. Absolutely.
12 and 8.
I think you're safe. I think it's, I don't think you're going to do any irreparable damage.
Zero chance either of them goes in the water the rest of the summer if I let them watch it. No, but Dad wants you to watch it for Roy Scheider's understated performance, the amazing character work that's done by Richard Dreyfuss. Come on, kids, grab your soda cans and crush them like Quint, just like he did with the Gansetts. I mean, and the cinematography, everything about it. It is a near perfect film. My personal favorite of all Spielberg's is Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay, fair. And follow-up question before we get to who won the week. Are your two apples, how far from the tree did they fall? Will they appreciate the cinema that they're taking in at 12 and 8?
No, they're not going to be like, oh my gosh, Dad, I can't believe that the cinematographer knew how to dolly in and zoom out at the same time, creating the vignette
bad
vertigo effect right there.
Not following in the Stevens family yet, or Stevens family tree yet. That's too bad.
Farewell and adieu to you fair Spanish ladies. Farewell and adieu, you ladies of Spain.
Y'all know me and what I can do. Hey, here's one more question before we get to who won the week. Do you think Ted, I hope so. Do you think Ted will be in for a sing-along for Show Me the Way to Go Home, Stiz?
Oh, yeah, Ted's game.
I think he's going to tell the rest of us to shut up and sing it himself.
I would pay big money for Ted to want to show me the way to go. Oh, my God, that would be amazing. All right. Anyway, as you can all tell, we're in extremely good moods today because not only is it the last day of the work week, but also it's a beautiful day. And there's so much to talk about. And yes, this is basically the unofficial kickoff to summer as well. And of course, you know how we kick off every show on a Friday. It's, of course, with who won the week. The players, the teams, the organizations, the whomevers that we believe were the biggest winner in the wide world of Boston sports this week. And Dan, I'm going to go with not Rafael Devers because he got his wish. to play baseball somewhere else where he could finally be appreciated, free of all the Breslovian drama that it seemed he languished under here in Boston in recent years. I'm not going to go with Alex Cora, who doesn't have to worry about dealing with the Rafael Devers drama anymore and all the nonsense therein, or the questions from us every Wednesday afternoon on WEEI Afternoons. No, I'm actually going to go with just hardcore a baseball player who a lot of the vested future of the franchise at Fenway lay in the very capable, large, handsome hands of, who is honestly starting to feel himself and get into a groove and also benefit by not having the Rafael Devers nonsense around him. That would be Marcelo Meyer, my winner of the week in Boston sports.
Love it.
I share with you this little rundown of statisticals from our pal Brian Barrett over at The Ringer. Marcelo Meyer, first 35 plate appearances, 250 slugging percentage, 507 OPS, no ding-dongs, 50% hard hit rate, launch angle negative 2.6 degrees. Last 30 plate appearances, ready for this? 741 slugging, 7th overall in MLB during that stretch, 1.041 OPS, 4 ding-dongs, 72.2% hard hit rate, 2nd in baseball, and a launch angle of 15.6 degrees. Dan Ball, Marcelo Meyer is free of the dysfunctional kryptonite that was Rafael Devers and his want to exit the franchise. He is starting to see the matrix. He's getting it alongside playing plus-level, all-star kind of defense. Marcelo Meyer, I am so glad you got the call. You are not sent down to AAA. You're a member of the Boston Red Sox, and you are a winner in my eyes this week.
Two things. One, I now understand how boring I sound when I read stats behind the glass, so I appreciate you giving me a look in the metaphorical mirror for the dork stats that come with the rundown. Second,
thank you. You see? Welcome to your world, Dan Ball.
Yeah, it's ugly. I gotta work on that over the weekend. But the second and more important one, Fitzy, is I'm very happily wrong about Marcelo Meyer. I thought he was going to be, out of the three prospects that you were hoping to see this season, I thought he was going to be last in line, not only for the call-up, but also for the productivity. You had Christian Campbell make the roster out of camp. We all thought Roman Anthony was the chosen one, and he still seems to be the chosen one. But I thought Meyer, given the injuries and just the fact that they were kind of moving him all around the infield, was going to take a little bit longer to find his form. But he is smooth. He's cool. Doesn't seem like a single thing phases him. And as we talk about, so who's your next face of the Boston Red Sox? He's a pretty damn good candidate right now. He's a lot of fun to watch.
He is. He's honestly, like you said, the moment does not seem too big for him. He seems, as they like to say in the professional sports ranks, built for this.
Yep.
He's got the looks. The defense, I mean, there's no need to share any advanced metrics on his defensive gameplay because you can just trust the old-fashioned eye test or what Middlebrooks and Fleming and Merlone tell you on the broadcast on WEEI and the Red Sox Radio Network. This kid is good.
Yeah.
He's really good. There's a reason why when he fell miraculously to the Red Sox, 4th overall in the 2021 draft, when they had plans of re-signing Xander Bogaerts to be the long-tenured shortstop, both of the past, present, and future, and to only wear one uniform cradle to grave in Major League Baseball, all of a sudden they had to change their plans. Like,
right.
Oh my God, this kid, he wasn't supposed to make it to 4, and he made it to 4. It's like Jason Tate, like, wait, they weren't supposed to take Markelle Fultz and give us Jason Tatum. Like, plans change real quick. Things change, as Don Ameche famously said in a movie called Things Change. And so when they do, you have to adapt. And this kid is adapting brilliantly to the pro game.
As we talk about what this Red Sox team is going to be, do you believe that they can be a playoff team? They can be a wild card competitor. They will buy at the trade deadline. A million questions. It's just so nice, Nick, to see somebody that's answering some questions for this group as opposed to creating them, because on field and off field, I feel like we have so many more questions than answers. You have Garrett Crochet and then a long list of guys who you're not really sure who you're going to get game over game. Marcelo Meyer is answering who plays third base for the Red Sox in lieu of Alex Bregman. And maybe even better than that, I think he's answering, all right, who plays shortstop for the Boston Red Sox for the next 10 years or however long till they get to arbitration, piss each other off,
and then lose him. And then he gets sent out of town because he gets lowballed at the contractual table. Now, I'm so glad. Like, what did Teddy say yesterday? Ted said he was so happy to see a proactive iteration of the Boston Red Sox, that they were trying to do, they were making moves. You know, whether or not, no matter how much, and we'll get into that in the next break, talking the Jeff Passan hit piece on ESPN.com about Breslow. they have been making efforts to improve the ball club, and you have to appreciate that. And in effort to improve this segment, let's turn it over to a radio professional, Dan Ball, with his winner of the week.
Well, I don't know who you're looking at on your Zoom chat right now, but in lieu of a professional, I will tell you that I had a number of contenders, and I'm glad you brought up Alex Cora, because I think he had a week that kind of maybe vindicated him just a little bit in all of this Devers stuff, with just how much negative attention was going on the front office, and the hit piece out was largely about Breslow and the front office handling versus his handling of the Devers drama. I'm going to go back to the well for something that I mentioned in a three-point stance earlier this week. Fans of Rich Keefe, cover your ears. My winner of the week in Boston sports is Brad Marchand, and I know he's not technically in Boston sports right now, but he will forever be linked to Boston sports. And I saw a pretty solid group of Bruins fans, at least that I see on social medias, giving him the flowers that he is due. And you can see just how much this year meant and kind of taxed him emotionally, leaving Boston, going through that ugly breakup, having to get traded, moving his trade protection around in order to get down to Florida to have a chance to win a cup. He seems like he's living his best life right now. He's being a little petty. Like, he went on Instagram and took pictures of every single one of his teammates who were sent from other teams via trades or waivers or free agency or whatever else, and is kind of playing the petty game right now as he continues to drink his way through Southern Florida. But I'm still happy for him. I think he had a great playoff and re-cemented himself as a fantastic clutch time performer after a year that probably took a lot out of him and took a lot of out of his family as well.
He was epically part of that unreal $110,000 celebration at Foxwoods with the 2011 Stanley Cup champion Boston Bruins, and 14 years later he has found a way to rekindle his rock star Roman candle with the Florida Panthers as a veteran member of a Stanley Cup champion winning team, partying everywhere he goes, leading thank you Boston chants from the balcony of bars, the elbow room. Then he was at the 11 room getting carried around, crowd surfing while holding the Stanley Cup. Matthew Tkachuk on Instagram stories, thank you at NHL Bruins. You would think it's pain. You would think they're salting the wounds. You would think they're rubbing it in, Dan. But in a lot of ways, what he's saying is quite honest. And if there is a little bit of poking of the bear, as I've said many times this week, game on. I want the Panthers-Bruins rivalry to live on. I think it's actually the best rivalry right now in all of Boston sports. And it's only going to get richer if Marchand signs one final NHL deal and he stays where he just won, in Central-ish / South Florida.
Yeah, I wonder about that one. The financials are interesting, and no need to bore people more than I already am with hockey talk on a Friday when it's 90 degrees outside. But I can't help but be happy and hope that this is a message to this front office. We talked about alignment all week within the context of the Red Sox. It seems like the Bruins, whether you like their plan from executive level front office down to the coaching staff, it seems like they do at least have three people who are seeing eye to eye on whatever the vision and the plan is for this team. I hope that every single one of them had Brad Marchand and Matthew Tkachuk on Instagram, saw all the parties, saw the petty messages that were going out, and used that as incentive to try to make this team watchable in 2025-26. And so I'm hoping that this win for Brad Marchand, maybe pie-in-the-sky optimist, can be a win for Bruins fans in the long term. But in the meantime, keep boozing, my friend. You earned it.
Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty indeed. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number to call in if you got a winner of the week. Anything Marchand related, Marcelo Meyer, Red Sox, Devers drama, and so much more. We're here for you. And that, of course, is your operational text line. Dan Ball and Stiz Grimey sharing the best and worst of those throughout the program with you, the good people of WEEI. When we come back, we are going to dig deep, get out a fork and knife. Nice tender cut of this Jeff Passan piece on Craig Breslow and the dysfunction behind the Rafael Devers trade. Don't forget Big Ted at 3, Joe Shasky 3:30, Mego 4:30, and you with us here on a beautiful first-ish sort of day of summer.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Neil Carl, it is a shocker. The timing is shocking. The magnitude of the player is shocking. And again, Rafael Devers was supposed to be the guy that Boston was building around in the future, and now he's going to be a San Francisco Giant.
Jeff Passan from last Sunday night, Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN. A little commentary on the then fresh Rafael Devers trade from the Red Sox to the San Francisco Giants. We now sit 5 days removed from the deal, and just when you thought we could move on, carry on, and everyone could resume their sports fan lives, on the front page today, Dan Ball of ESPN.com posted 3 hours ago by that very same Jeff Passan a story called How the Red Sox Absolutely Botched the Devers Divorce. And I got to say, in a week where, well, let's put it this way, Craig Breslow has had better weeks.
Yeah, not our winner of the week for sure. Bresbot for sure was a winner of the week on this show, but Craig Breslow himself, not at all.
Yes, Bresbot was a significant contributor to our program this week. Happy to have him whenever he decides to chime in. However, Craig Breslow, oof. I mean, the fact that, I mean, you get into this piece, I'll just start even right at the top. Just the way it begins, all of a sudden, somebody like myself, Dan, who was very pro trading Devers, removing the irritant from the equation, letting him carry on with his life, getting paid to be happy and, you know, mash taters somewhere else and letting the Red Sox carry on with their lives. Just even from the very get-go, all of a sudden some of that, a little Devers sympathy seems to brew to the surface. Awaiting takeoff on the Red Sox charter flight early Sunday evening, Rafael Devers sat with his teammates playing cards. The trip to Seattle would take a little more than 6 hours, and games were a reliable way to pass the time, a carefree bonding exercise for a team coming off a sweep of the rival New York Yankees. This was going to be a good flight. Before the Boeing 757 lifted off, manager Alex Cora approached Devers with a solemn look on his face. He had news, and there was no easy way to say it. Devers had just been traded to the San Francisco Giants. He was gobsmacked. He gathered his thoughts and belongings, said goodbye to his teammates, strolled off the plane into a cab, and rode off to the next phase of his life. Oh, boy.
And then Jaron Duran tucked himself in for a nice, peaceful nap, apparently.
Oh, my God. And it just goes on to detail the tension between Devers and the team, how it started to simmer, boiled to the surface. He felt, quote, lied and betrayed to by the Red Sox. We've heard this week, Dan, Pedro Martinez and Manny Ramirez chiding the Red Sox organization for painting Devers in a villainous light. And of course, David Ortiz, who many consider now spokesfan, super cheerleader for extraordinaire.
Paid employee, worth noting.
Yep, basically. Poppy defending the Red Sox. It's bad. And, you know, it's not just Rafael Devers or Rafael Devers' family that seems to have it out for him as well. I had no idea, as you continue to read this piece, how many people had been dismissed by the organization, whether there was some, you know, dope Department of Baseball efficiency or whatever that came through and decided to introduce sweeping changes. This quote right here, pretty damning as well. Since the cuts on the Red Sox, Breslow's circle of trust has been small and his reliance on the team's analytical model heavy. Editorial note. Oh, come on. Nerds are ruining everything. Back to the quote. According to sources, leaving some longtime employees embittered. Breslow loyalists fear the consequences of that, with one saying, there are definitely turncoats internally plotting against Brez.
Great. Awesome.
What the hell, guy?
Fantastic.
I thought we were just going to get rid of Rafael Devers, let him go be happy, let the Red Sox figure out who the new leaders were, kind of like the same way, crossing sports, my apologies, 3-2-1, the same way we talked yesterday about Mike Vrabel cleaning house and allowing new leaders to emerge on the Patriots, so that, you know, his new era of Parcells multiplied by Belichick divided by Vrabel football could take flight and earn its own stripes and wings. Now it seems like we are just going to be mired in some sort of like paranoid baseball, I don't know. I have like some sort of like weird little mind game now where Breslow is trying to like see who trusts him and who doesn't. Who's not, you know, you're either with me or against me. I just when I thought the vibes were going to start to get at least decent around here, far from immaculate, it sounds like dysfunction is going to be more the norm than the excuse the remainder of the season, or for as long as Breslow's here.
Yeah, remember when you asked me yesterday, hey, are we through this mess? Is everything going to be just sunshine and roses and everything for the rest of the season? And I'm not even sure I let you get through the sentence before I went, no! I felt like I was being a little overly negative, maybe filling in a little too genuinely for who normally sits in this one chair. But this is just another in a line of examples that is growing far too long of the fact that all of these issues go directly to the top. Your ownership and your big decision makers, Fitzy, made the decision to bring in Craig Breslow after being turned down by a million and one different baseball executives because nobody wanted this job. Then you gave your, you know, 15th choice of president of baseball ops or whatever the hell his title is. You gave him unilateral authority to bring in a completely different way of thinking and clear out the front office and, like you mentioned, cut out 50 different jobs, but also keep some members of the old guard who just witnessed you go through this cutting of the fat within the front office. And then you also have a manager below you that comes from the old regime of spending money and being aggressive and not necessarily trusting analytics to a fault. So your owner put your front office at odds with your group on the field, and it was really only a matter of time before this bled over into something that has become so public as the Rafael Devers thing. But this goes all the way to the top. This does. What's the alliterative saying that's thrown out on this show? Piss poor planning prevents poor performance, or something other way around. But this was just planning from poor the very top. Awful.
No, it's bad, man, and it does go all the way to the top. I mean, the more reports we read, the more things we hear, the more we realize that when John Henry flew out to Kansas City back on May 9th and Devers kind of, you know, gave him the emotional Heisman, that the decision was made there, the clock was ticking, and it was only a matter of time until a decision was made or a deal was struck. And, of course, one was struck last week with a team that the Red Sox happened to be playing this weekend, and they didn't even get that much back in return. I don't know. I guess we'll try to ask Joe Shasky and see if we can plumb any details as to which of the four people that the Red Sox got in return will possibly be a contributor in the near or long-term future for the Red Sox. But I'm more concerned, really, right now, not with shedding the salary, which John Henry was insistent upon,
right?
Because they couldn't get a major league-ready player, nor could they get somebody like Brett Eldridge, the first base prospect from San Francisco. They just wanted to be done with the money and done with the drama. I'm more concerned with what's going on internally in-house, and if this is going to flare up again with someone else who wants money eventually in a deal and trust in a comfortable place to play baseball and call work, like Jaron Duran, or I mentioned Marcelo Meyer or Roman Anthony or anything. I wonder how any player could trust an organization like the Red Sox going forward. Here's another quote that is totally damning of things. Quote, "The current iteration of the Red Sox comes not from the detritus of a longstanding lack of success, but an operating philosophy that better resembles plucky mid and small market teams than a financial leviathan. The Red Sox are big market baseball in a funhouse mirror, a distorted reflection of what could be and should be." I mean, you want to talk about just landing five clean gut shots and then a left cross right before the bell as the referee comes over to check if you're okay to continue the fight. Damn, Dan Ball. Damn.
Yeah, like any good hit piece, Jeff Passan pulled exactly zero punches. Maybe that's something that you gain as being just a national baseball reporter. He's not beholden to anybody in the Red Sox, their front office, or what have you. They operate like a big market team in the revenue that they generate for the owners and for the shareholders and for whoever is profiting. As you know, the prices of everything are exorbitant, and the prices of tickets, the prices of merch, the beer, the hot dogs, everything like that. You still spend that money, and it still ends up padding the pockets of the ownership so that they can turn it around and spend it on Liverpool and the Pittsburgh Penguins and the racing team and whatever that golf thing that was going to be but never seemed to manifest itself. So they're big market there. Unfortunately, it just is not reflected in the last 5 years or so on the way that the roster has been treated. And that's been reinforced partially, Nick, by some of the contracts they've signed. I would guess that John Henry is more gun-shy than ever about signing those long contracts that you talked about yesterday because of the stories, the Yoshidas and the Devers, and the fact that it seems like the longer and the more expensive they are, the more ugly it gets along the way.
What was the last long-term deal that the Red Sox struck that was a success that would possibly convince John Henry to want to get back into big market ball club spending and not try to be so, you know, job lot thrifty regarding a team like the Red Sox, who he should not be job lot thrifty. He should be spending Neiman Marcus, Saks Fifth Avenue, Macy's style, and not, you know, bargain center building 19ing it. I guess you could say so far the returns are great on Crochet, but that's not even half a season's worth of investment. Chris Sale blew up in their face.
Yeah.
Trevor Story, the ROI has not been great.
Working backwards, Nick, I'll give you some numbers. So Devers, 10 for 312, which was an extension. Yoshida, 5 for 90.
No.
Let's see. Garrett Whitlock doesn't count. Story, Bogarts was an extension. Sale was an extension. 5 over 145. That was a joke. I guess maybe you could argue a JD Martinez 5 over 110 or 110 over 5, but that's...
That was good.
Yeah.
It wasn't... I would say that was a good deal. It wasn't great.
Good deal. Yeah.
But it was good. I mean, he was clutch back in... He was pretty clutch all the way through, especially clutch in 2021, leading all the way up to that surprise impromptu ALCS run. But
woof, the list before that, David Price, Ruzne Castillo, Pablo Sandoval, and Hanley Ramirez before you get to a contract extension in 2013 for Dustin Pedroia. And even that towards the end, unfortunately, with the knee injury, kind of, you know, soured as it went along, but you had to sign that at the time. So the track record, Nick, to answer your question from a few moments ago, going through that list of long contracts, and thank you to Sox Prospects for putting that together, is woof, not that great. And unfortunately, we can't add the Christian Campbell extension to the good pile yet either.
No. So in a lot of ways, it does sort of make sense that John Henry would become trigger shy with his checkbook, and why he might bring in somebody like Craig Breslow, who really is kind of like, I was thinking earlier today, who's it like in pop cultural terms? He's kind of like one of the Bobs from Office Space. The guy that just kind of comes in here and clinically assesses the situation, asking people, what would you say you do around here?
Right.
And just looking to like shaving money and turning the Red Sox into an upper mid-level team when they always should have been a top tier free spending, compete with the Yankees. Like, once you destroyed the Death Star in 2004, you became a part of the galactic battle forever that was seeking dominance in the AL East, the AL, and MLB overall. And to now just like retreat back to your little moon and go, no, we're good here, that's fine. That ain't the way it works, guys. It's very disappointing, Dan. More to share from this on the other side as well. And eventually we'll get into previewing the weekend series that is, of course, Red Sox against Giants, the Rafael Devers grudge match series. We'll make some outrageous predictions for the weekend as well. And we would love to hear yours at 617-779-7937. Joe Shasky from the Morning Roast, out in San Francisco, 3:30. Ted Johnson joins us at 3, and you right here on WEEI Afternoons.
People with other teams are appalled at how he handled it. I had one person say to me, look, the team's handling of this on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being bad, was a 6. This person said, Devers, it was a 10 out of 10 and how badly he handled this. He goes to a new team, Tim, and when at some point Buster Posey, Bob Melvin sit down with him and they talk about what to do, now that he's gone through it once, I hope the next time he said, yeah, I'll go take ground balls at first base.
That, of course, is the legend behind OnlyFans.com, one of the best baseball pornography. Sorry, I came up with that one on the fly, Dan. Dad jokes.
I could tell.
It's summertime. I know. Whatever. That's Buster Olney, of course, ESPN baseball legend. We're getting all the good stuff from the ESPN baseball people today.
Yeah, they've had it. You want to talk about winners of the week. They've had quite the week just picking apart the carcass of this team.
No kidding. I got, honestly. Buster Olney from ESPN there discussing how, interestingly enough, people didn't think the Red Sox, including Jeff Passan and many other people that are currently associated with or used to work for Craig Breslow, handled the Rafael Devers drama. And then it also turns out people around baseball were appalled by Rafael Devers' behavior, just like we were as well. Dan Ball and Nick Fitzy Stevens here with you on WEEI Afternoons. Ted Johnson joins the party in about 10 minutes from now. We'll have Three Point Stances giving you our hottest and latest takes in sports to kick the 3 o'clock hour off. But, Dan, as far as Olney's little tidbit there, that people around baseball thought it was a 10 out of 10 in terms of petulance, misbehavior, and selfishness. Agree or disagree?
I am a pro Buster Olney guy. Got to talk to him a lot when I was back in New York. But
brag.
I feel like, and that is a brag.
Oh,
thank
you're
you.
You're a paid and made man. I should have known.
No,
better.
No, no. But let me tell you what the other half of this sentence is going to be before you say that. I feel like that's strong. This is the only superstar in baseball that these other general managers are presiding over that has made a stink about a position change or a team asking him to do things that they don't want to do. I feel like a 10 out of 10 level of appall versus only 6 out of 10 for how the front office handled that. That to me is another general manager protecting the hide of the general manager of the Red Sox or whatever Craig Breslow is considered, and not actually speaking on how poorly this was handled by the Red Sox front office. That's how I perceive
that. Nailed it.
Probably a pretty solid take. And I was just thinking of this in terms of taking it, you know.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
With all of this, you know, discomfort and acrimony spreading wildly, like it's getting dysfunctional, wildfire bad. This is the kind of thing where, as the two sides would be warring and getting overruled with objections galore in a divorce court, where the judge would just say, "Oh my God, enough! Tell you what, you get all your money, you don't have to pay, and the only thing I and everyone else in this court of law wants is for the two of you to never see each other again." Of course, unless it's 10:15 on a Friday night on the Red Sox radio network with Will Fleming and Lou Maloney on the call.
I'm not missing a word of that broadcast tonight, by the way.
No, I'm telling you, this is with this beautiful, it's cookout weather, Jaws is on TV, and then after Jaws, you get to listen to or watch, preferably listen, to Devers' first at-bat against the Boston Red Sox. I mean, holy hell, that is how you kick off a summer, big boy.
No question. No question. So what did you make of the Buster thing?
I thought 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10 would never do it again. I thought that was pretty high as well. I thought somebody definitely was sticking up for Breslow and the Sox, doing Cora or Henry a favor. I mean, he wasn't doing many things like leaving his bat on the shoulder for 3 straight strikes. Or like walking down the line, or he didn't field a ball and then throw it into the stands. I mean, he wasn't being a complete jerk, but was he being a big old bucket of sour grapes you couldn't turn into at least a decent glass of wine in a box? Yes. I would have put it at like an 8 out of 10. I thought 10 out of 10 was pretty strong myself.
And the last thing that other general managers want to do is point the finger up at the executive box.
Right.
Therefore, kind of justifying what Rafael Devers did, because that's a precedent that you cannot set if you are one of the other 29 general managers in baseball. Like, oh, no, this guy belly aching and complaining and, sticking his neck in the sand and saying, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm doing this for the betterment of myself, not the betterment of the team. If you give any kind of credence to that kind of behavior, you're only going to hurt yourself.
All right. So, I think now I have 2 questions for you before we wrap the break.
Yeah.
One, when do you think, if it hasn't already, that Rafael Devers' dysfunction and drama fatigue washes over Red Sox Nation and people say, honestly, enough is enough. just let him be on his team and let's keep calm and carry on with ours. That's one. And two, if he gets a big hit, if not a home run tonight, does he, a la Roger Clemens when he struck out the side in the seventh inning back in 1997, stare up at the owner's box? The stare down he gave Dan Duquette 28 years ago is infamous in Red Sox and Boston sports history. So those two questions to you, Dan, before we wrap. One, has Devers fatigue finally set in? And two, if he knocks one out of the park, do we get a Devers stare down of Brez tonight or this weekend?
So my only way to answer the first question about Devers fatigue is by checking the radar and checking the temperature of the Betts fatigue and the Bogarts fatigue. And I don't think either of those have completely dissipated from Red Sox Nation because you haven't won a damn thing since you got rid of any of the three of them. So unless the Red Sox can finally make the playoffs and go on a run and try to exercise some of these demons that they've created for themselves, Fitzy, my answer to you would be this thing isn't completely disappearing until they have summited the mountain once again in Major League Baseball.
And as for the deliverance of, are you not entertained this weekend?
I don't know. I as much as he is, seems
does he
to be,
flip the bat in the direction of Breslow if he goes yard?
I don't think we're going to see anything great like that. I really don't. I don't think he's not that fiery competitor that's gonna outwardly say I'm gonna shove it you know where for with these guys and I'm gonna try to show them up. I think he's gonna be swinging out of his cleats. I'll tell you that much.
Oh,
he is going to be the wind he is going to generate. The wind power would power the greater Boston area for generations.
Gavin Newsom has already ordered somebody tap into the green of Rafael Devers' overswings in San Francisco this weekend.
That is my lock of all locks. But do you have different expectations? Is there going to be a little petty side eye coming from Devers?
Are you kidding? He couldn't. He is going to swing. If a shoe doesn't come off, if a sock doesn't explode, if his belt doesn't send a volley in a Sandovalian capacity fall off, or he doesn't fall down, I'll be stunned. And if I'm Hunter Dobbins tonight, first pitch, hard as you can throw it, letter high. And if he catches up to it, God bless him. Otherwise, I just want to see it. People want the theater. If nothing else, this is entertaining, Dan, and you can't ask for much more right now.
100%. And funny enough, your implication about what Hunter Dobbins should do and what the Red Sox should do kind of ties into my three-point stance a little bit.
What a big market tease and beautiful segue that was as we make our way to break.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.